This is the intro to News with Nick for November 5th, 2016. Oopsies. Oh, dear. This is how every show starts. Saying oopsies. Intro to News with Nick, November 5th, 2016, called Guy Fox Day. That's because a man was a fox in the woods, and they're like, what's that? That is Guy Fox. Why does he dress like a fox all the time? I don't know. He just wants to be one with the foxes. So we have a problem today. I can't really talk. So I don't know. Are we going to continue the show or not? Here's the thing. So I set up the show, right? This is hard in this world where you're emailing, you're typing all the time, and you're on social media or forums. Like, I feel like I'm communicating perfectly fine. I'm at work. I'm emailing people. I'm doing tons of work. And then last night, I'm like, you know, I should set up the show. So I spent a bunch of time getting all the links together and announce the show. And then I go, oh, wait a minute. I start trying to talk and I can't talk because I have had a cold for about 3 days. And you completely forget that you can't talk until you try. And then it sounds like this. How does my voice sound? How horrible is it? Now we could switch voices and I could go, hello. Oh, sorry. Hang on. This is News with Nick. This voice sound feels much better in my throat than my normal voice. I don't know why. Maybe it's the reverberation. Different, and this is just how it works. Can you guys think of more Guy Fox jokes? The chat says fox hunting. I don't get it. Is that like Goodwill Hunting? Guy Fox. Huh? Is that from Meet the Foxers? Or Meet the Parents? Guy Fox? All right, let's end in the news. Kidnapped 4-year-old girl at center of multi-state Amber Alert found safe, and the suspect is in custody. We're going to be watching a lot of videos today, I hope, because I don't really have any voice. This one may not play.
Breaking news on that Amber Alert issued over the weekend. We're learning about another sighting of a 4-year-old girl kidnapped from Lakeland. The frantic search to find her now spreads further north.
Well, that's very quiet. Rebecca Lewis, a 4-year-old whose Saturday abduction from her Lakeland, Florida home set off Amber Alerts in 5 states, has been found and is safe, according to a Monday tweet from Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Nick, why are you just bringing up a whole nother Amber? Who cares? Another 4-year-old arrested? Arrested? Citizen, that's what I'm calling it now. If you're kidnapped, you're adult arrested. Little girl, you're under arrest. Well, here's why. The suspected kidnapper is named West Wild Hogs, and he's in custody. Hogs was captured after an employee of Baptist Memorial Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, called security to say that Hogs was at the hospital. Memphis Police Department spokeswoman Karen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer told reporters, wow, why would they name her that? Karen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? It's Rudolph. She did not know why Hogs visited the medical center, she said. Could you hear that? Police pulled over Hogs in the hospital's parking lot, she said. Hogs was arrested without incident. Look at this man. That's West Wild Hogs. Why does he have a blue... Is that like an image issue, or does he really have like a just blue thing on his face? That seems to make no sense. That looks like a digital issue. It was far from the only bizarre piece of information provided at the Monday news conference. Judd suggested that Hogs might already be in custody if Tennessee authorities had issued the Amber Alert earlier. A ranger encountered Hogs and the girl at the Cove Lake State Park in Carysville, Tennessee, about 20 miles south. Hogs told the ranger he was waiting on Rebecca's mother. The ranger told him that the park was closed and Hogs left. Only later did the ranger realize, when he saw a bulletin, that he had spoken to Hogs. So this is very strange. Why would a man attack a 4-year-old? So you go on to over to this new website. It's not new, but it's like a quick hit news piece. Heavy.com. West Wild Hogs. 5 facts you need to know. Hogs was thought to be driving a car he stole from his mother. Actually, you know what? We don't need to know any of these facts. All you need to know is that West Wild Hogs is a scary man and he likes to kidnap 4-year-olds. But why? If someone kidnapped my 4-year-old, I'd be like, thank you. Not that I have a 4-year-old. President Daryl W. Perry is in the chat. President W. Perry is in the chat. Thank you, chatters. By the way, chat, if the voice thing becomes too much, like if we can't go on, please just let me know. I will stop the show and I will, as far as the podcast is concerned, I'll be like, we are going to pick up after the break, and then I'll take a break of a day, and then I'll finish it tomorrow. Because it really hurts. I can't talk. All right, but we can't spend the whole show talking about how much I can't talk, so we're just going to have to push through. And I will coat my throat with this French onion dip that I have sitting next to me. How do people coat their throats? What if Beyonce's like, I got a frog in my throat. I can't do the concert. Oh, although I guess Beyonce's stuff is like pre-recorded. So who's something that does something live? Like a comic, right? But a big one, because most comics you don't care about. If a normal comic is like, I can't make it to the bar tonight, they're like, whatever, we got like 5 billion people, including the bartender who actually wants to perform. Because if you're a comic, you're probably also a bartender. President W. Perry in the chat says, I'd pardon you if you stole a 4-year-old. Can we apply a filter to this recording that gets rid of the lisp or whatever? The throat lisp. The throat crackle. It's like my throat is a speaker, but all of the cables are loose. All right, West Wild Hogs, get rid of it. Oh, so this past weekend, I went to the state championships of high school, right? Pretty exciting. If you go to NewHampshireCrossCountry.com, I can't believe that someone actually takes their time to write up who is the best runner in New Hampshire across a field of grass and up a little bit of a trail and then down a trail and then across a finish line. Very boring. Nobody cares about this. But anyway, NewHampshireCrossCountry.com, they actually write it up. So the local high school that Nora's son, Jake, is on, the team, was headed out there. They were ranked by NewHampshireCrossCountry.com as third, or rather fourth, maybe? Third or fourth going into the meet. But they also said, you know, we haven't seen much of this Keene crew. They could be the dark horse candidate or whatever. So I get there, and it's coming up to the race time, and I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. And people are like, Laura's like, there's no bathroom. I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's a bathroom. I've seen people go toward a bathroom area. So I wander toward the bathroom area and I go, oh, hey, a line of outhouses. And I look at the outhouses like you do. Several of them are red and some of them are green and people are coming in and out. And as I walk up, I'm targeting one of the green outhouses, right? And I don't mean the color of the plastic. I mean the color of that little lock thing, right? So I'm going toward one of the green ones. I'm like, this is open, but nobody's going for it. And then I look kind of diagonal behind me, and I go, wait, that looks like it's a line of people waiting to use the other outhouses. But why aren't they going for this outhouse? Maybe this must just be one of those crowd mentality things, like, I haven't seen anyone use that one, so I'm not going to use it, right? Crowd mentality is very strange. Look it up. I'm a psychologist now. So anyway, Because the line, if you're in the line, you would automatically go toward the next one that comes open, right? Even if there's three of them that aren't being used, you wouldn't go to one of those because no one else is. There must be a reason. So I'm like, well, whatever. I'm not getting in that line. I'm going toward one of the green ones. So I open it, and all of a sudden I see that it's empty. I completely actually expected there to be a kid in there because, obviously the kid probably went in and didn't do the lock. So I'm like, whoa, that was close. So I go in, and then I'm like, the floor in here is very brown, and it's wet. Maybe this is why nobody used this one. Well, too late now. I'm already in, so I use it, and I'm pretty sure I stood in a puddle of human mud. It might not have been human mud. There's no evidence that I did not take a test kit, but whatever. Hey, that's what you get for cutting the line, I guess, of the outhouse. So anyway, the team runs, and they do really well. They're going to win the state championships. They're on pace to win the state championships, coming in rated fourth and probably about to beat some of the favorites. Everyone on the team is pacing well. Jake is having the fastest race of any freshman in history or something like that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, you know what? The runner who's third best on the team decides, I don't feel like running anymore. And this is very mean for me to be announcing, but luckily this is on the PCL only, so nobody can hear this if you're public. So the third runner on the team is mentally challenged in certain ways. Autism, right? And everyone's autism works a little differently. This man's autism, and by man I mean like junior in high school, this guy's autism works like if there's too much pressure on him, he can't do anything anymore. So he gets a mile into the race. He's running like 10th in the race or something like that, out of whatever, 100. And all he needs to do for Keen to win the state championships is come in like 20th or better. He could like jog it in and be like, I didn't feel like trying all out. And they're like, oh, cool. That's fine. We still won the state championships. But he's just like, actually, I don't want to anymore. And he stops running and he doesn't even finish. He just pulls off and he's like, I'm done. And they lose. They come in third overall. But whatever. Today they're going to the... So they came in third, which still qualifies you for the next round, which is called... Apparently the championships, that's not the final round. That's the state round. Then there's the Meet of Champions. And then after that, there's New England's. So Meet of Champions is today. And we're trying to figure out if you know... Quitter Boy is going to be able to make it. And everyone's been like telling him, hey, Quitter Boy. And I'm calling him Quitter Boy because I don't want to say his name. Guy, this week's meet, it's just a fun run. It doesn't even matter. Just go out and try your best. It doesn't even matter what happens. Even though it's like, it's even higher technically than states. It goes states, this thing today, and then New England's, and then I guess national. I don't know what happens after that. The Olympics, probably. You've qualified for the Olympics. Unfortunately, they aren't held until 2020. So, please keep working out until then. President W. Perry in the chat says, I'm still running that 5K. Oh, I saw President W. Perry on Facebook post, who wants to run a half marathon with me this coming May? And I was like, ooh, not me. I'm never running again. Just kidding. So, anyway... they finish the race, and this is where the story gets a little personal. They finish the race, and Jake comes across the finish line. He actually came in eighth out of, you know, whatever I said, 100, maybe it was 110. I don't remember. But he ran an amazing race, by far the fastest freshman in the state. He comes across the finish line, and his dad's there, and his dad goes. And remember, his dad and Nora are divorced. They're not still married. And his dad goes, I'm proud of you, son. They hug. They're hanging out, right? And then Nora runs up and says, hey, Nick, where's Jake? And I said, he's over there with the dad. She goes, ah, figures. So she goes over. And then I go away for a couple minutes. I don't, like, maybe even 30 seconds. I, like, go look at something else. And then I start coming back. And I'm not going to get involved in the conversation. But as I start coming back to the people who are hanging out, Nora, Jake's dad, Jake, Jake's dad's girlfriend, I look from a distance and I'm like, that looks like they're yelling at each other. That's very strange. Why would they? I know they're not each other's greatest fans, but this seems like a strange time to be having a fight, right? And then all I hear is the dad going, you're going to tell my kid to shut up? You're going to tell my kid to shut up? I'm like, wow, he must be yelling at someone. And he must be very mad. Someone must have told his kid to shut up. You're going to tell my kid to shut up. And then he starts pushing through the crowd, and he's coming straight for me. And I'm like, wow, he must be really mad at someone behind me. And he goes, you're going to tell my kid to shut up. And he comes up right to me. I'm like, oh. And then I'm like, oh, I'm about to get assaulted. And then a half second later, I get pushed really hard. And he's still yelling. And then everything goes fuzzy. I don't remember much. Actually, I do. So the And then all these parents around me start going, hey, hey, it's a high school meet. What are you doing? They start restraining him. And I'm like, what's going on? And I suddenly realize what it's about, which I'll tell you in a second. But the parents are like grabbing him. They're separating him from me. And someone goes to me and is like, just walk away. Just walk away. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just walk away. So I walk away and I like hide in the woods. I'm like, oh, God. This man is very strong. If we got in a fight, I would be dead. But I didn't even do anything, at least that day. So then I finally realize that, he's mad. Well, he's yelling at me about something that happened during my marathon on September 25th, which was over 30 days ago by the time this thing had happened. Where during my marathon, I didn't talk about this on the show because it was a little embarrassing the way I acted. But the point is, during my marathon, in the last like 3 to 4 miles, when I was saying on the show how, you know, I've never been more tired in my life and this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, Jake was like alongside me and he wouldn't stop saying like, "You can do it, keep going," which was very nice of him. But I said, "Please, I just want to be in my own head and not hear anyone talk to me." And then I said that in meaner and meaner ways. Like, "Jake, please shut up," I probably said. So Jake tells the dad this, and the dad is like, "Someone told you to shut up. I'm going to beat him up." So he's mad about that. And I shouldn't have acted that way. But the point is, the dad didn't just see me and get triggered by that. They were already having like an argument amongst the three of them over something. And then he sees me in the distance and his anger like redirects toward me and goes, "I'm going to go push Nick." So I got in a fight, guys. Isn't that exciting? And by fight, I mean I got pushed and then I walked away and hid in the woods. Isn't that a great fight? All right. Next story. Hua Li was purchasing a lottery ticket at a Raceway convenience store in Houston on March 12th when a man holding a gun burst through the front door and attempted to force his way behind the bulletproof security panel in front of the counter. Li fled the store, hearing gunshots behind him as he ran. Then he did what anyone would do in that situation. He dialed 911. They just said, "This is 911. How can I help you?" "I was trying to finish my sentence and we got disconnected." He called again and the police finally arrived. By then, the store's manager was dead. I don't think he would have not been dead, even if the first operator had been fine, but it was probably too late. So the headline of this story is, 911 operator hung up on thousands of calls, police say. According to police, Crescenda Williams, 43, did a whole lot more than hang up on these two instances. They claim that between October 2015 and March 2016, she had thousands of short calls. So they did a report on her call history, which lasted 20 seconds or less, much like the two above. In one, a security guard called to report a pair of drivers drag racing on the highway. "This is Officer Moulton. I'm driving on 45 South right now, and I am at..." The call began, but she immediately hung up. Before she did, though, the recording included Williams responding, "Ain't nobody got time for this, for real." And that was me getting an email. Sorry about that. Williams no longer worked at the Houston Emergency Center where she was employed since 2014. So I do have the actual complaint here. "In the name and by authority of the state of Texas, I charge Crescenda Williams, hereby styled the defendant, which she did unlawfully, knowingly prevent and interfere with the ability of Jimmy Moulton Jr. to request assistance in an emergency, namely persons racing on the public road." So she's being charged with only a couple instances, but apparently she hung up on thousands of people. It does say in the actual complaint, it says, "This is Officer Moulton. I'm driving, blah, blah, blah." Like we said, "Although the call was disconnected, the call takers and continued to record. Heard the defendant comment, 'Ain't nobody got time for this, for real.'" So she's a 911 operator. She's answers the phone. It's like, "Ah, this is an officer. I'm racing down the road and I need someone." Says she hangs up and goes, "Ain't nobody got time for this, for real." Wow. Can you believe it? Why would you do that? She's like, she just thinks it's a normal job that she can just hang up on her customers. Like, if you work for Amazon, fine. Just hang up on all the, like, you've got 2,000 calls on hold. You've got to hang up on them. But if you're 911, probably not. The chat says the operator probably clicked the mic drop by accident. Espresso D says, "You're a hero. You saved Nora from domestic violence." Maybe. Was I the Jesus of the domestic violence situation? I was like, "No. Beat me up instead." Very sad, folks. Speaking of 911, man calls 911 asking how many legs an octopus has. South Carolina police in Rock Hill arrested a man after they say he called 911 multiple times, harassing the dispatchers. Police say that John Dargan Barron, 69, first called 911 just after 11 p.m. Wednesday, asking the dispatcher how many legs an octopus has. When officers arrived at his home, they found him to be intoxicated and warned him not to call 911 again unless it was for an emergency. So he's in his trailer. He's going, "I got some Bud Light, and I wonder how many legs an octopus has." Doesn't it have eight? Wait, is he alone? Why would he be even thinking? Is he watching, like, Planet Earth and going, that octopus looks like it only has seven legs. An octopus has eight legs. Right, Jeffrey? Jigga wife? What am I even saying? Nelly? Who's my wife? Oh, all right. I don't have a wife. I killed her years ago. About 30 minutes later, officers were again dispatched to his home and he called 911 asking if the Russian alphabet was the same as the English alphabet. When officers arrived at Barron... Maybe he thinks he's using Google. Okay, Google. When officers arrived at Barron's home, police say he was not wearing any pants. Officers helped Barron get dressed and placed him under arrest. Officers say that Barron was verbally abusive toward the officers and offered passive resistance. What is he, going limp? He was probably already limp if his pants were off, right? If you know what I mean. I don't know what that means. Actually, you wouldn't be limp, right? He offered passive resistance before getting into the back of the police cruiser despite being clearly physically unable to do so. What? He can't walk. He's drunk. When the officers took Barron to police headquarters, he refused to get out of the car, telling officers he was stuck in the back seat. Barron was charged with a violation of the 911 statute and resisting police. Can we find anything else on this man? I'm going to Google his name. Maybe he's done something else. This man is the best. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Oh, my goodness, folks. Oh, are you kidding me? If you Google his entire name, this is breaking. I did not prepare this before the thing. Holy shit. Holy shit. Okay, hang on. This is amazing. Because when I first looked at this guy, look at this man's face. Can you guys see this on the stream? Yes. Good. This man looks exactly like Joseph Fritzl to me. Joseph Fritzl. I'm going to pull up a picture of Joseph Fritzl, and I'm going to compare it on the stream for you guys. Copy image address. I'm very good at computers. Can you imagine these people who are not good at computers and they spend like half of their day is spent like clicking on folders? So here's Joseph Fritzl. And here's the man that called 911 asking if an octopus has eight legs. Or how many legs an octopus has. But I don't get it. Why would you even think of that? But he looks exactly like Joseph Fritzl. His face is tormented. His hair is all gray. And Joseph Fritzl, of course, is our hero who locked his daughter. His desires to do it with his daughter were so intense, he spent months building a cage in his basement, right? And then he goes, hey, daughter, hey, I need some help in the basement. Can you help me put this door on? All right, thanks. So they both lift the door up, and they put it in place. And then she looks around and goes, oh, I'm inside. And he goes, that's right, you are. She helped put the door on. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Maybe I'm misremembering the story, but I'm pretty good at remembering these things. Did we find out what the punchline was? The punchline of which story? The octopus joke. Oh, you think he was calling the... The chat says he was maybe calling 911 to tell a joke. Hey, how many legs does an octopus have? And then they go, eight. And you go, ha-ha, 7, 8, 9. I don't know. Octopus, eight legs? Now, maybe he thought he was using OK Google. Here's the problem with OK Google. It doesn't work because my voice doesn't work. Watch. OK Google doesn't work. I don't know how you guys get this thing to work. Half the time it doesn't work, even when my voice is normal. Now, I know you can reprogram it, but I got to reprogram it for a bunch of different voices. I got to reprogram it to OK Google. OK Google. OK Google. OK Google. I got to reprogram it to every voice I could have, and now it hasn't worked for days because my voice is screwed up, so it doesn't know I'm me. Okay, Google. Okay, Google! Yeah, I can't get it to go. I cannot get it to go. No matter what I try. I wish that... Is there like a button I can do to activate Okay, Google other than having to say Okay, Google? Because if I can't figure out how many legs an octopus has over Okay, Google, I'm going to have to call 911. Okay, back to the point of the story. So I looked this guy up on YouTube. Not YouTube. On Google. Full name. Here's what we get. John Dargan Barron, registered sex offender in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It has to be the same man. White, male, eyes are blue. 6'3". Let's see. Offense or statute. He's failed to register. Date convicted May 2008. Aliases. Oh, my God. Here are his aliases. Bear Eagle. Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse Barron. Eagle Bear Barron. Eagle Bear Bear. Eagle Bear Bear, Eagle Bar Baron, Eagle Bear Baron, Eagle Gar Baron, Horse Crazy, Jamie Sellers, John Bear. We can't do this. Little Running Bear Baron, Run Bear Baron, Run Bear Bear Eagle Bear. Run Bear Bear Eagle Bear. If you guys don't believe me, you got to check the video version. I'm trying to figure out what he did. Can we get his phone number, maybe? It does list the schools that are near him. Maybe I should call this school and be like, do you know that Run Bear Bear Eagle Bear is down the street? Why is that an alias? Where do they find this list of aliases? Is this like all the names he's used online in his chat rooms with the 13-year-olds? My name is Run Bear Bear Eagle Bear. Wait, 250 pounds. Holy crap. Oh, view criminal history. Oh, wait, it's blocking the pop-up. Oh, well. Guess we're not going to find any more info on him. Let's see if there's another record here. No, here's his aliases again on another site. Can I find a... I'm really trying to find what he did. Oh, well. Doesn't look like we're going to find it. Policebookingreports.com. Ooh. Maybe? Nope. Public disorderly conduct. Arrested. Now, he's got a long list. We got to do some more research on this man during the break or something and get a list of Run Bear Bear Eagle Bears. List of offenses.
A Georgia teenager says he was able to speak solely in Spanish after coming out of a coma, despite not knowing the language before. In a recent interview with WSB-TV, Ruben Insemo's parents said he was speaking fluently in Spanish and not English when he woke up in an Atlanta hospital. Someone allegedly kicked the 16-year-old soccer.
From a severe concussion. I can't believe this page. It has two videos going on at the same time. So let's go back and try to watch this one from a few seconds ago.
Atlanta hospital. Someone allegedly kicked the 16-year-old soccer player in the head during a game, causing him to suffer a concussion. So how did Insemo suddenly pick up a new language? He told WSB Radio it could be because his brother and friends are all fluent. Eventually, Insemo's parents said his English came back while his Spanish-speaking skills disappeared. He wants to get back to playing goalie on the field. So does his coach, who says he must wear a helmet.
Boring. Wait. No, you can't wear a helmet in soccer.
Helmet.
No! That's like saying... Yeah, that's like having one person in football being able to wear a helmet. The reason everyone has these pads is because everyone has freaking helmets. Look at the lingerie league. They do not have helmets, do they? I'm going to Google it. Legends... It's also called the Legends League now. I've been doing a lot of research into this. Legends League uniform. They do have helmets. Oh, yeah, they've got helmets. Man, but if you got hit in the abs with that helmet, wouldn't that hurt? Or, like, in the butt? By the way, the Legends League is the one that is a bunch of girls, and all they have are helmets, shoulder pads, and that's pretty much all they're wearing. Very, very sexy, right, everyone? I don't know. Well, whatever brings in the money, I suppose, although it must not be because I never see it on ESPN or CBS. Let's see what this guy has to say for himself and why he thinks he can suddenly speak Spanish. This is my worst fear, as you guys know, that I will get knocked out, wake up, and only be able to speak Spanish, and then I can't use the ATM anymore because I've told it to force into English, and I won't know how to use the ATM and get any money out.
What do you remember about that game?
Not really anything.
This is the collision late last month that has turned Ruben Insemo's life upside down. He was playing goalie for an elite Gwinnett County-based national team when he dove for the ball. Another player kicked him in the head.
Jesus.
Ruben's coach says the teenager stopped breathing several
times. His head got kicked like a soccer ball because it was right next to the soccer ball. The other kid was going for the ball and said, kick this kid in the face.
Times.
I was in shock and panic, right? And then he would come back. Then he start throwing up. It was a sequence of things that...
They're interviewing the coach, but they're interviewing him while they walk down the street. Like, hey, we're doing this news story. How about we just walk down the street and the cameraman will walk backwards?
I've never seen, really. It was bad.
You thought you might lose him there.
I thought I might lose him there.
Ruben was airlifted to Atlanta Medical, where he spent several days in a coma.
Our life has changed.
All right, this is very dumb. Let's skip ahead and see if we can get any information about him speaking Spanish.
hitting a ball and watching games on TV.
Sometimes I daze out. Sometimes, like...
Yep, this was a complete lie, by the way. So, okay, so it's not a lie that he got a concussion, right? He got a concussion. He got seriously injured. But they say he woke up and he could only speak Spanish. More than likely, what happened was he woke up and he couldn't speak English well because he'd been hit in the head, but he already knew some Spanish. You can't wake up and then just suddenly speak Spanish. It's impossible. Unless the only way this is possible, and I'm a complete believer that this may be true, is that we all actually have memories deeply repressed of a previous life. Remember that kid who was born and then he said, "Mommy and Daddy, I am actually the designer of the Titanic." And they said, "You are not. Draw it." And the kid's like, "Okay, here it is." And he drew like the Titanic in great detail. And they're like, "Oh, he's the reincarnated designer of the Titanic." That could be true. So maybe he is a Mexican in a previous life and he got hit in the head and his Mexican, like, repressed memories came back up to the surface, and then now they're being pushed down again by his current life. That is the only way that I can imagine this, in that when we're reincarnated, we still have some of those memories from the past. Espresso D says, "The coach sounds a little like Nick today. How is it going? Is this tolerable? Can anyone listen to this?" Oh, shit. The chat has given us John Barron's phone number. Why do you think that that's John Barron's phone number? We will take a break, and we will try to call him if that's real. Remember, like, last show we tried to call someone that never worked? I would like to call him, and I'd be like, "How many... Well, now, it's 9:42 a.m., I think. Is he up yet, even? He's probably still drunk from last night, which maybe that's good. Maybe he's been up all night. We'll give him a try a bit later. Oh, shoot. Okay. Did you guys hear about... Oh, wait. Let's see if there's any other notes I needed to do here. Kid wakes up speaking Spanish. Oh, okay. Nope. So, did you guys hear about the Bundy decision? These are the people who went out to that building in wherever it was, Oregon. Oh, right. They took over a federal building in Oregon with their guns. Now, they didn't take it over using their guns. They just took it over with their guns. It's like saying, "Hey, we took it over and we also brought our dogs along." They didn't use their dog to do this. The chat says, "Your voice is actually getting a little better." I do not believe that. It hurts worse than ever. When jury deliberations began last month in the trial for Amon Bundy and six others charged with the armed takeover of Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, a guilty verdict seemed all but certain. Even defense attorneys admitted they were pessimistic. "You don't walk into court and win a case like this," he said. But jurors came back with a stunning decision. After deliberating for 5 days, they found all of the defendants not guilty of conspiracy to impede federal officers, the core charge in the case. After the verdict was announced, critics of the armed standoff were left scratching their heads. "It's absolutely devastating. It's awful. We're just disgusted with the verdict." 27 people total had stormed the federal bird sanctuary in southeast Oregon, holding it for 41 days in January and February before the last of them surrendered to authorities. The group spokesman was shot and killed by police during the occupation as he tried to drive past a roadblock and allegedly reached for a firearm. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And then you watch the video and it's like, it doesn't look like he was actually doing anything. But everyone hated this group so bad that they didn't even really care that one of the people was shot. Maybe he was reaching for a firearm, but probably not. If you're a, you know, a person who wants to take over the federal government, you're not going to pick your battle in the street surrounded by cops. You're going to pick your battle when you're back in the bunker with everyone else around you. Seems like he would have been smart enough to do that. Now, amid shock and backlash over the verdict, a key juror has come forward to explain why the 12 people voted to acquit him. And this is why the news is kind of worthwhile, because the juror has come forward. The 44-year-old business student said prosecutors fell far short of proving the conspiracy charges. Referred to as Juror 4, he asked to remain anonymous out of fear that his remarks might draw threats. It should be known that all 12 jurors felt this verdict was a statement regarding the various failures of the prosecution to prove conspiracy and not any form of affirmation of the defense's various beliefs, actions, or aspirations. Everyone on the jury agreed that the protesters used intimidation, threats, and force during the occupation to prevent workers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, blah, 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 blah. But prosecutors failed to show that Bundy and the others had conspired to do so. Well, apparently I wasn't part of the trial, and I didn't even watch it. But, but, I have to gather my thoughts. I wasn't part of the trial, and I didn't watch it. But I don't know how you wouldn't prove that they conspired to do so. They all got together and said, hey guys, let's take over that thing. It seemed this basic high standard of proof was lost upon the prosecution throughout. We were not asked to judge on bullets and Hurt's feelings, rather to decide if an agreement was made with an illegal object in mind. At times, the jurors continued, prosecutors came off as arrogant, asking them to infer the existence of a conspiracy. That apparently irritated the jury. This is interesting. Like, the jury actually went in and said, you know what? The state is kind of a dick. They're not even doing a good job. They're coming in and going like, they're guilty, right, guys? Let's just all agree they're guilty. And they came back and said they're not guilty. Now, here's the thing. They got not guilty of conspiracy. Now, all of the things they did, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what side you're on, they can be charged for 1,000 other things. And they are. Some of them are still in jail. I think most of them are actually still in jail. And so this is not a victory, really. Maybe it's a victory in the sense that they won't be facing 20 to 25 years for federal felony conspiracy. But they're still probably facing a bunch of other things. But here's a video from the outside of the courthouse. People are crying all over the place. So there's a bunch of people hugging. It's very annoying. So I wouldn't play this video except for this man. He's holding deer antlers and he's about to just yell.
Yes! Write it down, world! Write it down! Yes!
This is how people act out there.
That is extreme!
This is extreme!
Oh my God!
We beat the federal government, they're about to say. Oh, they're FaceTiming with someone. This man's charging his phone out of his nipple. He's got a charger right up there. I don't know if you guys have ever looked at Amon Bundy. Amon Bundy, pretty sexy, right? This man on the left. Ryan Bundy's got a face problem. And so I decided that it was probably worthwhile for us to figure out why his face is all weird. He's not retarded.
The people, because there seems to be a lot of questions on the internet, is the issue that you have with your face. Can you address that for me?
Yeah, I'd be glad to address that. When I was 7 years old, in fact, it was just a week after my seventh birthday, I was hit by a car and run over. The car ran over my head.
Holy!
Well, it didn't necessarily run over my head. It stalled on top of my head.
What? Wait. A car ran over my head. Actually, it didn't. It stopped on my face.
Well, it didn't necessarily run over my head. It stalled on top of my head, and the driver, not knowing I was under the car, just hit the gas and spun the car out on my head, and I was conscious through all this.
Oh, my God. How do you live? That's impossible. What was it, a 10-pound car?
He got the word that I was under there, pulled down off of me. I stood up on my own, but then lost balance and went back down to my knees. My arm was broken in the incident. My skull was cracked, and in that small fracture, a bone sliver severed the nerve, the motor nerve that runs the left side of my face. And
all right, that's enough information. So his face was run over by a car. Very sad, I guess. And that's what happened to the Bundys. So they are still in jail. I heard that after the verdict was released, the defense attorney said, "Let them out now! Release them! Release!" And he started going crazy in the court, and they had to restrain him. And they're like, "We're not releasing them. They still have pending charges." A, yeah, you don't normally get off right away, or do you? Like, if it's your only charge, Do they come up behind you and they go, they unlock your cuffs and they go, you are free to go? That is how it should be, right? Oops. Wow, chat. That is a little bit much. President W. Perry joke concerning being run over on your head, right? Why are your Facebook friends checking in at Standing Rock? I was like, Standing Rock? Is that like a rock you stand on? And you go, I am at Standing Rock. Much better than Sitting Rock. If you're seeing a wave of Facebook friends suddenly checking into the Standing Rock Indian Reservation in Cannonball, North Dakota, why has everything got to sound weird? Standing Rock and Cannonball? Oh, yeah? Well, my name's Bear, 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 Eagle, Bear, Swimming Bear, Bear, Eagle, Bear. And I'm in Standing Rock. It's probably not because they've decided to travel to the site of tense protests between the police and activists against the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline. Supporters of the protesters appear to be falsely checking in out of solidarity online in hopes of confusing law enforcement officials they believe are trying to track protesters who are actually at the reservation. Is this real? Is that really the reason? Or are people just being like, I support gay equality. I mean, I support the Indians, right? What are we supporting today? Is it the gays or the Indians? I'm checking in. What's going on at Standing Rock? So, this has been a big story, and I guess it's worth covering. Protests have been boiling over. Get it? Boiling over. In a long standoff with police over the fate of an oil pipeline under construction near the Standing Rock Swooks Reservation. Sioux, I guess. On Friday, the police said they arrested more than 142 people and used beanbags and pepper spray to disperse the crowds. Let's see if we can find any information on this 142 people. For months, tensions had mounted between protesters and law enforcement over the fate of an oil pipeline not far from the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Late this week, the strained relations boiled over. Why do people keep saying boiled over? Isn't that what oil does? It boils? Boil. Boil. Okay. Scores of officers dressed in riot gear walked in a wide line, sweeping protesters out of an area as face-to-face yelling matches broke out. Several vehicles, including at least one truck, were set ablaze. A standoff unfolded beside a bridge known as the Backwater Bridge, where protesters set fire to wooden boards and signs and held off the line of officers over many hours. What, they're using burning signs as weapons? Stay back! Stay back! I've got my burning sign. By Friday evening, officers said they had arrested at least 142 protesters of charges, including engaging in a riot and conspiracy again. Conspiracy to endanger by fire and explosion! Huh? Protesters gathered near the bridge were refusing to leave, the authorities said. Okay. So, who started the Facebook protest? It's not clear. Well, good. Thank you, news story, for telling me that. Is the check-in movement distracting law enforcement? No, according to the authorities. Okay, thank you. I hate the news. I'm getting angrier and angrier. So, journalist shot with rubber bullet while conducting interview at Standing Rock protest. A self-described citizen activist and journalist covering the increasingly high-tension Standing Rock demonstrations in North Dakota was shot in the back with a rubber bullet while on camera interviewing a protester Wednesday. So let's watch the video. So here's some video. I guess that's cops in the background and there's a guy like standing on a dock, or maybe he's standing on the Standing Rock. If you're in Standing Rock, it's like, I want to turn on the Standing Rock. Is it King of Standing Rock? Okay, so here we go.
We shouldn't even be up there. So we have every right. This is sovereign nation right here. This is sovereign people's land right here.
Is he an Indian? Or is he just a guy that wants to... Does he just self-identify as Indian? How do you tell if a man's a real Indian? He doesn't have feathers on his head or anything. So anyway, she's interviewing one of these guys at the protest.
Sovereign nation right here. This is sovereign people's land right here. So...
She got shot by a rubber bullet. Oh, she's falling. Oh, she's down. Wow. She said scores of protesters were attempting to cross the small river to hold a prayer ceremony when dozens of heavily armored cops in riot gear blocked their way, triggering a standoff. She remained on the other side of the bank to conduct interviews and said she didn't provoke any officers. I was just standing there, mid-conversation, interviewing the peaceful Native American man, when all of a sudden I felt a blow of maximum force to my left. Maximum force? I believe if it was maximum force, it would have launched you into orbit, right? That would have been maximum force. I felt a blow of maximum force to my lower back, and I had no clue what just happened. Turning around, Schrode said she saw an officer still pointing the barrel of his rubber bullet gun at her. I can't tell you why they targeted me. My back was to them. There was no violence. There was no aggression. It's atrocious. So some asshole officer decided, like, I'm going to shoot the hot journalist. Why not? It's like the police version of a catcalling, right? Instead of going, hey, babe, how's it going? They go, hey, babe, take my rubber bullet with maximum force to your lower back. Oh, it's going to be maximum force. Oh, God. Sorry. Blah, 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 blah. Mr. President, who cares? I don't even care. Is there another story? Let me check my list of things here. Oh, yes. Oh, we got lots of things. We have got lots of things still to go. Do you guys want to take a break? We will check on seeing if we can call Eagle Bear, Eagle, Eagle Bear. And then come right back. Okay, quick break. And there will not be a break for the video version because I don't know how to stop the recording and start it again. Back from break. We did try to call John Bear Bear Eagle Bear during the break, and all we got was a voice answering machine. But it's unclear if it was the real John Bear Bear Eagle Bear. Running Bear Bear, whatever his name is, I don't even know anymore, because he has a wife named Kathy, so it might be a completely different man that just happens to have the same name, the same real name as John Bear Bear Eagle Bear. But we were going to try to sort it out by being like, do you know how many legs an octopus has? All right. Donald Trump's campaign manager Kellyanne Conway admonished a man who shouted USA at reporters at a Trump rally Saturday night and said she would have had him removed if she had seen it. So this is not a big story, but it is very hilarious. The man's chant came while the rest of the crowd was chanting USA, USA. Video of the man's anti-Semitic shouting has gone viral on Saturday night. So they're at a Trump rally. He's wearing a shirt that says Hillary for Prison 2016. And everyone's shouting USA, which is pretty much as offensive as Jew-SA, if you ask me. U.S. America, U.S. America. Okay, let's listen to it.
You're the enemy!
He's pointing to the media and he's going, you're the enemy.
You're the ones working for the devil. USA! 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 USA!
He's just, everyone's facing the front and going USA. Although, I don't see anyone in the video yelling USA. Let me go back and see if I can see any. There's like an old man over here. There's a bunch of weirdos. Is anyone shouting USA?
USA! USA!
Most people are not even yelling USA. They're just standing there quietly while everyone else yells it. But he's yelling USA. And then as soon as everyone's done chanting USA, he goes, USA. And then he goes, what? We're run by the Jews, okay? And he's like shrugging, what? Not my fault we're run by the Jews.
Honestly, yeah. USA!
And he yells it one more time just for good measure.
A very, very high priority of my president.
Now, it is... turned out that this man actually has been in other viral videos before. I think it was like 6 or 8 years ago or something. You can look him up, and he is in a viral video about getting hit by someone else. He ends up telling the news, you know, how these people go on the news and they're very dramatic about their storytelling. He ends up being one of those people. So the Trump supporters are saying that means that he's a plant because he's been in a video before. Well, is he a plant? Is he not a plant? Who knows? If you're going to send a plant in, might as well send a man that yells USA all the time. He is very funny. You have to just do local news and just wasn't Conway a character in House of Cards? Okay, I don't know what any of that is. Oh, Conway. Yeah, the campaign manager. Was that a character in House of Cards? I'm not sure. Woman denied $43 million on a slot machine win, offered a steak dinner instead. Oh, I can't believe this. This is such BS. I can't believe this woman's been robbed $43 million. An unemployed mother of four. Of course she is. Of course she is. You're a mother of four. You're unemployed. You're black, which we haven't even gotten to yet. So there's no evidence of that. And you're in a casino. Why do you think you're unemployed and a mother of four? An unemployed mother of four. Why are you in a casino if you're unemployed? An unemployed mother of four thought she had hit nearly $43 million jackpot on a slot machine, changing her life forever. Then she learned the crushing news that the slot machine was tipping over onto her and crushing her. There would be no millions because the machine was malfunctioning. The casino offered her a steak dinner instead. That's a pretty good deal. I love steak. Katrina Bookman of Queens, New York, was playing the slots at the Resorts World Casino near LaGuardia Airport in late August when the machine she was using told her, printing cash receipt, $42,943,672 Eagle Bear Bear Eagle Bears. Customer and casino personnel surrounded her as she celebrated her massive win. She was escorted from the casino floor and told to come back the next day. Okay, thank you, but I didn't get my ticket. I didn't get my cash ticket yet. It's okay. Come back the next day. We'll have the cash ticket ready for you. Okay. Bookman, who grew up in foster care, who cares, was already making plans. That's what they call it. Foster who cares, right? Was already making plans for the money, including a barber shop for her son. What? Her son needs a haircut that bad that it's going to be $43 million? Here's a picture of the selfie she took. She took a selfie. It's her face right next to the thing that says printing cash ticket of $42,949,672. Please remove ticket from... and then it's cut off, so I don't know what it says. What did I win? Bookman asked when she returned to the casino. You didn't win nothing, she said she was told. The New York State Gaming Commission told Bookman she was not entitled to any winnings because the machine, which was only supposed to pay out a maximum win of $6,500, was malfunctioning. All the machines are labeled with a disclaimer reading, malfunctions void all pays and plays. Now, this is not the first time this has happened. This happens all the time where there's these stories of, wow, the machine said I won the jackpot, but then they just came over and said, nope, it was a malfunction. Bookman said the casino offered her a steak dinner, which she refused. You offer me a steak dinner? I feel like they did me real dirty. I feel like they did me real dirty. Upon being notified of the situation, casino personnel were able to determine that the figure displayed on the penny slot, you think that's going to pay a $43 million? Anyway, was the result of an obvious malfunction, a fact later confirmed by the New York State Gaming Commission. A statement from the resort casino said that according to the report, machine malfunctions are rare and we would like to extend our apologies for any inconveniences may have caused. Yes, you inconvenienced me. All right, let's watch a video of her talking about it.
It was just like, I can't even describe the feelings. Like, my whole body just got numbed.
Call it the $42.9 million selfie. Katrina Bookman's flashing her mega smile because behind her on the slot machine screen, evidence of her mega win.
And all I just could think about was my face.
Katrina's used to...
Oh, yes. All of my casino goings have finally paid off, and I will finally be able to pay for my son's haircut.
Disappointment, raised in foster care, homeless as a teen. She then raised four kids all by herself.
The struggle that I've been through is so hard for me to kind of cope.
The mother's already earmarked the millions buying a barbershop for her son and giving a big chunk back to her community.
We started us a little community, you know.
The apparent jackpot hit was in late August at Resorts World Casino.
Katrina.
It was casino.
Oh, changes, late changes to our CNN electoral map.
My bad. Here's some video of
chaos
inside the casino. Everyone's rushing over to the machine.
This video shot by Katrina's partner after she reported her huge...
Her partner? She's a black lesbian?
Winning, she was surrounded by customers, casino personnel, and security.
How much is coming us, Katrina?
Escorted off the casino floor, she was told to come back the next day for the decision.
I said, so what did I win? He said, you didn't win nothing.
Katrina says the only win...
I'm sure he said that. Hey, girl, just so you know, you didn't win nothing. And they slammed the door in her face.
Winning the casino offered...
He offered me a steak dinner.
A steak dinner?
Yeah.
I would have been like, only if it has mashed potatoes.
a state.
Unlimited mashed potatoes. If my mashed potatoes are empty, you bring another bowl of mashed potatoes. I wonder how much mashed potatoes I could eat. Have you guys ever tried just eating mashed potatoes until you can't eat anymore? I always wonder this about different foods. There's certain foods that I'm like, I feel like I could probably eat this forever. Like, how many bags of chips could I eat if I really had to? Probably a lot. I think mashed potatoes is one of those things because it goes into your stomach and then it just compresses, right? Until your stomach just becomes one big potato because it's already whipped up. So it's very full of air. I think I could eat a lot of mashed potatoes.
They win and now the house doesn't want to pay out. To me, that's unfair.
Wow. Is this her lawyer? This lawyer needs to go to jail. And by jail, I mean he needs to go back to the retard class of lawyering. Oh, my God. What if in law school it's like the slow class? Yeah, you're not so good. We'll put you in the special ed of law. This man should be in the special ed of law if he thinks that she won at the casino. He's just being a lawyer trying to get a payout out of PR, basically. So if you push it hard enough, maybe you can get a settlement because the casino is going to be like, well, we do feel bad for the black who cares foster care girl and her son's barbershop. So we'll settle for like $1 million. And he's hoping to get, you know, half of that.
They win and now the house doesn't want to pay out. To me, that's unfair.
Attorney Alan Ripka says at the very least, Katrina should win the maximum allowed on the Sphinx machine. The casino says that's $6,500.
The machine takes the money when you lose. It ought to pay it when you win.
Is he really a casino lawyer or is he just another lawyer that's like, this sounds about right. I'm going to do casino law now.
He asked the state gaming commission. They told...
There's very strict rules about this. It's not like these casinos are willy-nilly like in the Dominican Republic, which, by the way, look that up. Oh, wait, is it? Where is it? It's Progressive Roulette. Look this up. It's a good story. It's in these certain countries. If you're I want to say Dominican Republic. I'm not sure. If you're a tourist, you go into the casino and they go, hey, we're going to show you this new game. It's called Progressive Roulette. And they pull you over and it's a complete scam. And they've taken people for thousands. I love reading these stories. But that's not what it's like in the Americas. They've got a lot of rules, and it's not like you can just not pay. These casinos are highly regulated.
Told us Katrina's machine malfunctioned. Stated on all machines.
The chat says, Espresso D says her son really wants to start a barbershop quartet, but thinks he needs a barbershop for it. He doesn't think he can sing without the barbershop. Hello, welcome to our barbershop. We don't actually cut hair, we just sing to you. Oh, my mom didn't win the slots, and so now I'm still eating ramen noodles because she keeps wasting all our pennies at the slots.
They told us Katrina's machine malfunctioned. Stated on all machines, malfunction voids all pays and plays. As for Katrina, she still thinks at the minimum, she should be awarded the maximum payout on that slot machine.
We got it. Who cares? What's she going to say now?
I should win the max. And I feel like I should streak him to a steak dinner.
Wait, she should streak him to a steak dinner? She definitely said streak, right?
I should win the max. And I feel like I should streak him to a steak dinner.
So she wants to win the max, and then she wants to take the guy out for a steak dinner. That's very nice of her. No, I'll give you a steak dinner. What a good comeback. You give me $6,500, I'll give you a steak dinner. All right. Fine with me. All right, guys, this is News with Nick, and it has been News with Nick, and we will end soon. But this is the last News with Nick until that election, right? So what are you guys thinking? Things are tightening up. Nobody cares, right? But we kind of do.
Changes to our CNN electoral map. Here's where we woke up this morning. Hillary Clinton at 272, Donald Trump at 179. At that point, she's across the finish line. He is well short, but we're making some late changes as we head into the final weekend. Let's bring them up and give you a show. Right now, we're moving Hillary Clinton down to 268, Donald Trump up to 204. How do we do that? Utah, we have now moved from toss-up to lean Republican. Significantly, Ohio, the big Midwestern battleground, moves from toss-up to lean Republican. Also, Maine's second congressional district. Maine allocates electoral votes by CD. That goes to lean Republican.
By CD? Hey, we have to send our electoral votes in by CD. Do you guys have a CD burner? So everything's tightening up here. Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in to win a week ago. And then all of a sudden, the FBI is like, it's pretty much confirmed that Hillary Clinton is one of the most corrupt women we've ever seen. And they go, maybe we shouldn't vote for her. Maybe we should vote for that crazy man, Trump. So we're down to, is it going to be corrupt Hillary? Or is it going to be dope Trump that has no bearing on foreign policy whatsoever? And that if they win, apparently Mexico is starting to write a contingency plan. I've read this. Let's pull it up. Mexico has a contingency plan if Trump wins. Mexico is preparing for the worst. If Donald Trump becomes president, Mexican officials are creating a contingency plan for Wednesday to weather what they've called what they're calling a hurricane for Mexico's economy. If the adverse scenario manifests itself, it's possible that Mexican authorities will respond in some way. It's a contingency plan that we're talking about with the finance minister. So this sounds like it might be a little bit of headline hype that they're talking about a situation. It's like if I go to work and they're like, Nick, we just want to come up with a contingency plan in case, a fireball hits half of the building. And then it says, Nick's work is coming up with a contingency plan in case a fireball hits half the building. It's not like we're expecting it to need to be taken into play. He's threatened a 35% tariff on goods made by U.S. companies in Mexico and sold in the United States. Trump claims he will tear up NAFTA, which, fine with me, because I run shipping systems at work, and those NAFTAs are a pain in the butt to get to print right. I wish there were no NAFTAs. Maybe we wouldn't have to print that paperwork anymore. Or actually, maybe we'd have to print more paperwork. That'd be worse. Espresso D says, I think the max is what she should get. Well, I did hear that, and the casino apparently... The law says you can't just pay out winnings for things that weren't won, right? I don't know how that would work. Maybe you just write a check and so here's a gift or something, but you can't mark it up as a winning legally to the customer because they didn't win it, technically, by the law. So I don't know how it works. Obviously, there's some way. Maybe they could give her $6,500 in steak dinners. And her four kids could go there every day for 2 years and be like, this is where we eat now. They'd be very large, I think.
And then, a new gold on the map, a toss-up state. We're moving New Hampshire from lean Democratic back to battleground toss-up. A new
Espresso D says that he's voting for Trump in his head because Espresso D does not live here. I wish all the other countries wrote in their votes, too, and mailed them in.
Map and that new math. Hillary Clinton, as I noted, now below 270. She's been above it for a long time. That is significant. Donald Trump now above 200 puts him in the hunt. But
So the point is the race is tightening. It still is looking very Hillary, but we still got a couple days to go. Things could change, and Trump could pull out a real close one here. It's going to really come down to Florida, and it may come down to New Hampshire. So we'll see what happens. This will be the last News with Nick until then. Everyone's going to go into that little booth, and they're going to go, I'm doing my American duty. I got my Sharpie. I got my big piece of paper that's printed way bigger than it needs to be because there's actually 500 people on the ballot. And I did my American duty, and I feel powerful by filling. You're not powerful by filling in that bubble. You mean nothing. You're not on Survivor. You're not on American Idol. Your vote doesn't count. It's not going to matter. Your vote, any vote you make is going to be vastly outweighed by any kind of voter fraud that's going on. Dead people, people who are voting twice. Think about it. One person who uses a fake name to vote twice cancels out your vote. Yeah, means nothing. All right, the race is tightening, so we will find out what happens on Tuesday. Some people want me to do a live show on Tuesday. I don't think that will happen, probably. That seems like really overdone. You know how many people are going to be online going, we're streaming the election live. I'm very funny. Everyone will be. But, you know, we'll see. Was there any other news? I do not know. Is there anything on this page that we can pull up? Otherwise, I'm going to rest my voice for a while. Nope. Okay. Well, thank you for coming out to the News with Nick. I think we've been going for a little bit over an hour and 10 minutes, but I will find out when I edit the two halves together. And at the end of the show, we'll give that guy, John, one more call, and we'll see what happens. And this is News with Nick. Thank you. Boop. Why isn't he home? What could he be doing? What, is he out with breakfast with his wife?
Hello, John and Kathy, you're unavailable right now. If you'll leave us a message, we'll get back to you when we can. Have a good day.
Yeah, there's no way that's Octopus John. Oh, well.